This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu on Raise a Game. I'm a firm believer in constant lifelong learning and I try my best to seek out new sources of information as much as I can. But have you ever asked yourself how you're learning and whether or not it's actually effective? I'm here with Dr. Peter Shepherd from Credo Trust and he joins me in the studio to discuss his new book, Learning Matters, and the International Forum on Learning, or IFOL. Good to be speaking to you again after all these years.
Yes.
Okay.
Nice to be back, especially in your new studio.
In the new studio, right. Yeah. New for you.
We've been around. BFM.
We've been around for here for a year now.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about Learning Matters, the book, right, that will be launched. And it covers topics like the new learning environment, neuroscience, accelerated learning, and continuous and lifelong learning. So what spurred you to write this, to compile this?
I suppose I've always been interested in learning, being a ex-trainer and doing a bit of coaching now. And then, of course, I'm still lecturing. I'm still adjunct professor. So I always remember that old expression, if the learner hasn't learned, the teacher hasn't taught.
Okay.
But then today we are saying also there is self-learning, self-directed learning.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of concerned as I'm aging slowly that one needs to keep on learning to keep mentally active.
Right.
I think if we look at our Prime Minister as an exemplary model of learning continuously and, lifelong. But so I thought this is a very, apt topic, especially as we're getting aging population.
So you're organizing this forum, the IFOL, and it covers everything from the beginning till the end almost, right? And why did you think it was important to organize a forum of the sort?
Yeah, that's an interesting topic because some people have said it's too wide. We use that famous expression, from the womb to the tomb, or another cradle to the grave. So the idea we thought was, well, we start learning literally when we are an embryo. And hopefully we're learning, till the day before we die or the hour before we die, whatever it might be. So, the concept of lifelong learning has been around a long time. And we actually also publish a magazine on learning. It's a bi-monthly magazine. And two or three articles recently have been on this theme of continuous and lifelong learning. So we thought, why don't we build a forum around this topic, bring in some of the authors, experts from around the world who specialize in this, many of them authors in their own right.
So this magazine that you have, this is under Credo Trust?
Well, actually, Credo Trust has a division called Cambridge Global Learning, or I call it CGL. Cambridge Global Learning does offer a number of professional certificate courses, and it has a framework, following the UK National Qualification Framework, and we award fellowships. So we have a board of advisors under Cambridge Global Learning, and they are distinguished fellows.
Right.
So some of those are coming in to speak. We actually have about 14 foreign speakers because it's the forum is a series of panels. So, there's six panels throughout the day with two or three panelists and a moderator.
Okay. So I'm looking at the different panel sessions as well. But just organizing this forum, who did you hope would attend? Because I would assume like parents, I'm looking at certain sessions which would be more applicable for me.
Yes.
So who do you hope to attend?
Well, basically we are focusing more or targeting more on what we call facilitators of learning. So as you said, a parent is facilitating the learning of their their toddlers and their young. Then there are teachers, naturally, and then we progress into adult learning and there are lecturers. And further down the road, we may have coaches. So, anybody who's facilitating learning right up to the end of our life. So a lot of caregivers are trying to help those, you know, and the difficulties with dementia or Alzheimer's disease.
Right.
They themselves need to learn how to cope.
Right.
And even the children of aging parents.
Mm. I'm looking at the different sessions. Session one is learning starts from the womb and home. And then it goes all the way to learning for and after retirement. I'm just going to cover some of the areas where you'll be speaking, talking about the brain-based learning in neuroscience, right? And the learning brain, optimizing its use. And also the influence of, this is action learning and andragogy, the influence of personality and learning style preferences. Tell me more about that one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, which one? The andragogy, the action
yes.
learning, or
more
neuroscience?
The influence of personality in learning style preferences.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, as you might recall, many years ago, you interviewed me around a book I wrote called Personality Matters. Mm. And, of course, now we have Life Matters. But one of the ideas is that different personalities have different styles of learning.
Right.
They like to learn different ways, you know. So there's people who are like hands-on
right.
versus those who can just close their eyes and listen and absorb it all
right.
versus those who must see.
So
the learning style, as it's often
visual, auditory,
kinesthetic. And now we've added another one called digital.
Right.
So, you know, without the smartphone and your thumbs racing, you can't learn. So the very young generation...
Right.
I've almost become dependent upon that.
Right. And they wouldn't know what to do with their fingers if they didn't have it touched.
That's right. But if I add one more in, there's this magic of Google, if I'm allowed to sort of promote Google over the air.
Right.
But that is a tremendous learning aid. You know, anytime I want to know something, I just go into Google.
Mm.
So the old phrase, Google it.
Okay.
But I have to learn how to, you know, master the PC and Google, the technology, if you like.
Mm.
So elder generations have a big challenge of learning to cope with technology.
Right. Okay. And, you know, what about the role of memory and accelerated learning? That's also a topic that you're covering. What's the topic there?
Well, there we are talking about, because of the pace of change being so fast, the idea is that can we learn fast enough to keep up with the changes in the world? Sometimes... as we're learning something, it is almost out of date.
Yes.
There's these expressions, you know, that I go through a 3-4 year bachelor degree. By the time I graduate, what I learned in year one may be out of date already.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can accelerate our learning, and that's where the brain comes in, then, you know, neuroscience has now studied cellular learning and learning in the brain and how we can optimize by using, say, all our senses, for example, we can speed up our learning.
I'm here with Dr. Peter Shepherd from Accredo Trust talking about the International Forum on Learning, EFOL, and we'll continue our conversation right after this. You're listening to Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters. BFM 89.9.
This is Race Again. Good morning. Frida Liu here. I'm speaking to Dr. Peter Shepherd from Accredo Trust. You can get more information about them at accredotrust.org. We're talking about the International Forum on Learning, or EFOL. He's getting a team of people together from all over talking about learning from the womb to the tomb, basically. And this is, so I'm going through the different sessions with you at the moment. And I wanted to touch a little bit about, I guess, mid-adulthood and generativity, right?
Yes.
What this whole area, this probably applies to me, but what mid-adulthood,
yeah.
Tell me.
Okay. Well, the concept of generativity is it's a word that's not in our everyday vocabulary,
okay.
But I thought, well, we'll put it in because it may raise eyebrows and right. curiosity.
Like it did.
Just did. But the idea is that one generation can pass on its learning to the next generation.
Okay.
And the elder generation, supposedly more wise, least have maybe absorbed more knowledge. And we don't want them to take that to the grave. Mm. So the idea is you pass on whatever you have learned. Mm. So that's generativity to the next generation. And it applies, you know, throughout, but more particularly in the elder Because if I had 20, 30 years in a particular industry, I know a lot about it, a lot of ins and outs. When someone new comes on board, they are a little bit lost in terms of the history of the organization or the industry and things like that.
When you look at your peers, right, who's gone on a journey with you, or you know, just looking at how, I guess, like, because you've always been in education, you've always been open to the idea of lifelong learning, but you look at your peers,
yes,
and they don't have that same frame of mind as you, what do you see happening to them?
Well, I think that we say if you stop learning, you stop living. The brain actually is like a muscle, and you need to exercise it. But, of course, we're talking about mental exercise, not physical, although the physical actually helps. So the idea is that if I'm not, you know, learning something new, my brain is going to age faster. It's not going to be as healthy. So I think even if someone is just sitting around and not talking, it's good for them to know that that's not helping themselves. So even if I'm just retired and I'm sitting in the coffee shop and I'm just having chit-chat, that at least is interaction, is social interaction. I am still learning. And when sometimes you go in to listen to these elderly people in the coffee shop, they're actually talking about politics and, and you know,
it's always politics.
So there's always something like how to keep up to date.
And I think, like, we you're talking about keeping up with technology, and sometimes we may get inundated with technology, but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with still just picking up a book.
That's right.
You know, the good old book,
the
right?
The good old book where you can thumb through the pages and highlight or do whatever. So I mean, I think there is that balance that you still would get some benefits. I think it comes back to learning style as well. Some people just don't like reading a book on, say, Kindle or something. They just need to have that hard thing in their hands and flip the pages.
I'm old school that way. I still love my books.
You know. But I think it's a challenge for the youngsters today, as we said, the digital age, where they just grown up with a smartphone. And to get them to read books is quite a challenge.
And I guess it doesn't matter the form, as long as you get into the habit of just reading, right? It could be on Kindle, it could be a physical book, but, you know, are they even reading is probably the question.
Well, absolutely. And then, of course, just reading. And, and it could be you watching a foreign movie and there are lines, you know, the translation in the text there.
The subtitles,
The subtitles. Or you're you know, just looking at posters and signboards and everywhere, we need literacy. The UNESCO have had that thrust since 1970 of trying to increase the amount of literacy in the world. And they say an illiterate country will stagnate, will go backwards. But a highly literate country can move forward. And I think that can apply to a community as well.
You know, you've got all these people coming from all over, you know. I mean, can you talk a little bit about some of them and what your, you know, what would they'll be covering?
Because each one is a specialist in their own right. And we have those who are working extensively as education consultants in schools, for example. So we have a New Zealander coming who's doing a lot of work in schools in several countries. Mark, and then we have a South African, Elle Marie, who's been a pioneer in early school education and working a lot in several countries.
She's talking about creating a thinking school, a framework for embedding thinking in your school's DNA.
That's right.
So that topic will be appropriate for, I guess, educators.
And for, like, for example, I was giving a workshop to kindergarten teachers in Cambodia. And they were so fascinated with this idea that they were almost like, I think six of them were the first to sign up for the forum several months ago. And so they would be benefiting very much from that particular session. But equally, we've got someone else called Dr. Cameron Richards, who's been giving international conference papers on adult learning and on continuous and lifelong learning.
Yeah, his topic is on towards a comprehensive model of lifelong learning. You're covering the last topic, how learning organizations and knowledge management go together.
Yes.
How do they go together?
How do they go together? Well, the concept of if I learn and I share the learning and I share the learning among the employees, I'm starting to develop a learning culture.
Right.
And so if I've got the concept of a learning organization, which in simple terms, everybody learning and everybody sharing the learning, that organization actually has a competitive advantage.
Right.
So from a business or strategic viewpoint, if all my employees are learning, they're keeping up with, if not ahead of the times, they're sharing it. And one of the sort of dilemmas, I think, of the learning organization is there is knowledge there, but is it shared? Mm. And so the concept of knowledge management is making sure that all the information is there. Mm. Knowledge portals, websites, et cetera,
right.
Even in meetings.
Yeah. And so these are the formal ones. I know of some organizations that get together informally every week or so to discuss a book.
Yeah.
So just simple. And it's great for team building. It gets people to read and just maybe just one chapter to discuss, kind of thing. Just get them started.
Yeah, yeah. Very true. So all the way through the organization's life,
right.
if they have that culture of learning, then it's going to benefit the employees, then it's going to benefit the customers, then it's going to benefit the organization overall.
All right. So anyway, happening November 14, and if people at the Lake Club, people want to get information, they can go to credotrust.org. And of course, they can also get in touch with you. How do they get hold of you?
Well, my email is almost the same. It's just the letters PS for Peter Shepherd. So just PS, credotrust@gmail.com.
Thanks.
So that's quite simple.
Right.
And then I am on WhatsApp.
Okay.
But I don't know whether you want me to give you the WhatsApp number now.
I don't know if you want to give your number now. Maybe an email will be better.
Yeah, I think an email. Just pscredotrust@gmail.com.
Thanks for being with us, Dr. Peter Shepherd from Credo Trust. You've been listening to Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.